Op Gonas.
I reached out to my brother on Top Guna, KG Keshio Keshio Shawolu, about his thoughts on the state of affairs at the club. Oh, and he had a ramble about structure and Edu's departure. Here, listen.
Joe Tony, the way I see it, I think there's a lot of coincidence in what is happening with us right now as a football club. The bad spit of results is because of our, and it's not just about Odegaard. Nah, we started the season without Odegaard. We won at Aston Villa, we won at Tottenham, we beat PSG. Our defense, because our team is based on a solid defensive structure. And now, when the starting defender doesn't play, then the one that is supposed to back up the starting defender does not play, and it spreads across the defense line, and these things are happening throughout the game. You cannot win games because it's about structure. It's not just about how talented your footballers are. It's about structure. Tony, you've played football. I played in places where I was usually one of the best players on the pitch. Then I've found out over time that when I also have some of what do we call it, sets. You said let's play set. When I found out that when I play with some of the best players on the pitch, then we're like 60% the best players on the pitch, it doesn't really work well. It never really worked well because we do not perform to the level that we're supposed to be because we're too comfortable about beating the opposition. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's about structure, because when the old team is not that talented, when there is a structure and there is less talent, it usually works much better. Example, Real Madrid right now, it's because Mbappe has their whole structure. What again is very important to what we do, but we haven't had a defense to build on. We haven't, you're launching a missile into space. If the foundation, the launch codes and everything is not well, the rocket will crash before it even gets close to the atmosphere. That's what we're going through now. So it is not that we are in that bad a situation. It's just because we are riddled with injuries. I predicted that Monmouth will beat Man City because Man City is injury wise, these are human beings, and these Premier League clubs are not playing either. So that's for our performance on the pitch, which can still be connected to this Edu sin. Edu and Arteta have always looked like the Batman and Robin. They look perfect together. They everything. And when you look at what they have achieved so far together, or claiming to be together, or while the optics show that they're together, it's been brilliant. So I haven't seen any reason why Edu would want to leave. And this thing you said about how it might be that he has a power tussle with Arteta. Arteta looks like somebody that might eventually get really arrogant and all, and because he's had too much power and is working too much for him.
So according to Keisho, it's clear that the club's struggles aren't just about individual talent. They stem from a lack of structure that has become painfully obvious, especially with key players missing. Starting the season without Odegaard seemed like a manageable setback when we pulled off those impressive wins against Aston Villa, Tottenham, and even PSG. But as injuries piled up, it's like our defensive foundation crumbled, leaving us fully exposed. Our defensive setup is shaky, and it doesn't matter how talented the players are if they can't function cohesively. The defense needs to be a unit, and when backups are out, it causes a ripple effect that destabilizes the entire team. He also touches on an important point about comfort levels among players. When you have a mix of talent but lack the right environment or motivation, it can lead to complacency, struggling because their star players are disrupting the system instead of fitting into it. And then there's the Edu and Arteta dynamic. Keisho makes a compelling observation about their relationship. Like Batman and Robin, they've seemed perfectly aligned in their mission. But with whispers of a power struggle, it raises questions about whether that partnership could withstand the pressure eventually. With Edu gone now and Arteta's growing power, which might lead him down the path of arrogance, things could adversely affect team morale and cohesion. It's not all doom and gloom, Sha. Injuries will heal, and if we can get back to a solid structure, there's potential for a turnaround. The club needs to reassess, and perhaps this is a wake-up call to reinforce the foundations of our game, ensuring that when key players return, we have the system in place to maximize their impact. Edu Gaspar's exit from Arsenal is a significant moment in the club's evolution, marking the end of an era that has seen substantial progress both on and off the pitch. As director of football, Edu has been instrumental in shaping the squad, revitalizing the club's identity, and steering Arsenal back toward the top of the Premier League. With his departure, there are critical tasks that the new director must tackle to ensure the club's momentum continues. First on the agenda will be the contract situations of key players. Jorginho and Thomas Partey are both set to see their contracts expire in 2025, and their futures need to be clarified soon. Decisions will have to be made regarding their potential extensions, especially considering Partey's fluctuating form and Jorginho's contributions, which could be impacted by their roles in the squad. The new director must prioritize these negotiations to maintain stability in midfield. Next, the new sporting director will need to reassess Arsenal's goalkeeping situation. With David Raya stepping in as the clear number one, the absence of a solid backup following Aaron Ramsdale's exit poses a dilemma. Edu's efforts to secure a permanent signing fell short, leading to a temporary solution with Neto. The next director must not only find a reliable second-choice goalkeeper, but also plan for the future of this position to avoid similar issues down the line. And finally, addressing the striking options is crucial. Edu made strides in bringing in versatile players, but the search for a prolific striker has been an ongoing challenge. The likes of Gabriel Jesus have shown flashes of brilliance, but haven't consistently delivered the cutting-edge Arsenal needs up front. The new director must prioritize this area to give Mikel Arteta the attacking firepower required to compete at the highest level. The coming months are pivotal for Arsenal as we navigate this transition. The successor to Edu Gaspar will not only have to uphold the progress made, but also set a vision for future success. The club's aspirations hinge on smart decisions in the transfer market, and the fans will be eagerly watching to see how this new chapter unfolds. Picture this, it's a cold night at the iconic San Siro. The odds are stacked against Arsenal, and the Italian giants Inter Milan are ready to crush our Champions League dreams. But what happened next? Well, it's the stuff of Arsenal legend. Back in 2003, we walked into the San Siro with our heads down but our spirits high. It was the Champions League group stage, and we'd had a rough campaign so far. Inter had humbled us 3-0 at Highbury, and our chances looked slim. They had Adriano, Vieri, absolute monsters up front. But that night, we saw something extraordinary. The world saw something extraordinary. Thierry Henry took the stage like he owned Milan. His first goal was pure class, slipping past defenders and slotting it home. But he wasn't just content with one. It was as if he decided to rewrite Arsenal's European history that night. A total of 5 goals went past Toldo, and the crowd went silent. Ljungberg, Edu, and Perez joined the party, each goal more stunning than the last. Arsenal had turned the game that was supposed to be impossible into a San Siro demolition job. When the final whistle blew at 5-1, we hadn't just won a game. We'd announced Arsenal as a European force, and every fan there knew it. That night is still a beacon, a reminder of what the Gunners can do on the grandest stage. Tonight, we face Inter Milan in the Champions League, and our captain Martin Odegaard is back on board. He's been in full training, and though it's a bit earlier than expected, Mikel Arteta has confirmed he travelled with the squad. I've seen the pictures, I've seen clips. Martin's presence could be the difference in midfield tonight, as we'll be missing Declan Rice, who is still recovering from a foot injury he picked up against Newcastle. With Odegaard back in the mix and the squad geared up for a fight at San Siro, this game is set to be a thriller. Fingers crossed, 3 points to the Arsenal.
Yeah, for me, I always live by the quote, it's not what you see, it's what you believe. But at the same time, it's important to not be delusional. And in this case, I don't think it's delusional to believe. If you look at our squad, the quality we have, the players we have, and at the same time, we're only in November, so I don't think I've lost any belief. I don't think anyone in the change room has either.
That's a wrap for today's episode of Up Gunners, and I hope you enjoyed delving into the world of Arsenal Football Club with me, Tony Doe. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. If you have any thoughts, questions or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me at upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. I'm active on Twitter as well at upgunnersng, active on Facebook at upgunnersng. We're also on Instagram at upgunnersng. Until next time, keep the Gunner spirit alive, and remember, Up Gunners!